and welcome to another episode of Boil Down Brevard. I am Jessica Saggio, your Boil Down Brevard host, and I'm here in the studio with Rob Landers, my lovely co-host, wearing plaid today.
Indeed. Hello, everyone. How are you?
And we are back. We've got lots and lots of stuff to talk about, but first, Rob, do your thing.
I never realized how much this shirt looks like a picnic table.
Yes, it does. I wasn't going to say it.
Looks like a picnic, like picnic blanket kind of cloth.
Yeah, but like it's excusable because you have this like little bit of jean material and the color that like perfectly matches the color of jeans you're wearing. So like it was obviously thought out. So all is forgiven.
Yeah. Okay, well there's that. Okay, so anyway, before we get started, and please let me stop talking about my shirt. Before we get started, I'd like to remind everyone to please click subscribe in the iTunes or Google Play stores or follow on the Stitcher Radio or Podomatic app so that you never miss an episode. And if you like what Jessica and I are doing, please go into iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. It helps really, really smart people like you find us easier on iTunes. Now, you can follow Jessica on Twitter at Jessica J. Saggio. That's at JessicaJSaggio. I paused a little bit this week.
I know.
I'll second guess myself.
Off your groove.
You can follow me on Twitter and Snapchat at by Rob Landers. That's at BYROBLANDERS. And I forgot to include, if you want to follow the very funny Jessica Saggio on Snapchat, please follow her at Jujuju. That's JUHJUHJUH. Okay, so we got to get this wrapped up because I got to get out of here.
Rob's leaving.
I am. I'm
not forever.
I'm taking a long weekend. I need a break. It's been busy.
I know. It's been nonstop.
Yeah.
And it's been like one big thing after another here. Like, I am really resentful of your vacation because I want to steal it. I want to steal it and I want to go.
You cannot. So
anyway, I know.
Yeah. Just taking a few days, so that's why you're getting the podcast earlier than you normally would. So what are you doing this week?
Oh, right. I will be on WMFE channel 90.7 on Friday morning. I'll be on the Intersection show with Matthew Petty.
Did you ever see that movie? Richard Gere, Sharon Stone.
Intersection?
Yeah.
No.
And it was a weird, it's like how two people's lives intersect. In
interesting.
One person. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
Anyway, I'll be on that show talking stuff. We're going to be talking about, you know,
The stuff.
Lots of good stuff. Some of the stuff that will definitely be pertaining to Brevard. I think that's why they bring me in there, is to kind of chime in from our neck of the woods. So tune in. It's at 9 a.m. Goes from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., which is, like, early for me. I don't know about for you guys, but...
I had to be here at 9 o'clock this morning so that Matt could talk to Florida State's Matt Reed could interview Commissioner Jim Barfield for next week's episode of the Matt Reed Show, and nine is a little nine early for me to get started.
Yeah,
with
me and Rob come in a little bit later.
Yeah, but we stay a little later too.
We also stay later too. So mind you. But like whenever there's a shift in the schedule when you're used to coming in later, and then all of a sudden you got to come in at like 8 or 9 o'clock. It feels like the end of the world.
Literally, I am dragging in here like I am an extra on The Walking Dead.
Yeah, for real though.
So, what fun things are you going to talk about on Friday, Jessica? Are you going to talk about Fair Villa?
No, we're not talking about Fair Villa, but I want to talk about Fair Villa right now.
That's so sad.
It just came out today. I mean, it's just the way the retail world is going right now. But if you haven't heard, Fair Villa, the iconic Fair Villa in, is it Cape Canaveral?
It is in Cape Canaveral.
Cape Canaveral is leaving that giant facility and going to a boutique store down the road on A1A.
They're suffering from some shrinkage.
Rob's been waiting to say that for like, since we started this podcast.
Since I read Wayne Price's story.
Yeah, which is conveniently in the headline.
Correct.
A nice little zing for Wayne there. But my thing is like, where are all the 18-year-olds going to go on their 18th birthday? That's like the traditional place is you go there, you show them your ID, and you like traipse around there, and you like don't really buy anything, I guess, because you're poor, because you're 18.
You look, you point, you giggle, and you move on.
Yeah, I know.
So, Fair Villa, though, is not closing. They are just downsizing. They are going to be moving from their iconic... I guess you could say iconic.
I think it's iconic.
Cape Canaveral location, which, you know, when I first moved to Brevard County, It was in my backyard.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I lived on Columbia Drive in Cape Canaveral when I first moved here. And I will gladly fill you in on the escapades of the woman who lived downstairs from us in our apartment complex later and off, because it's not appropriate for younger listeners.
Did she work at Fair Villa?
No, she worked in her apartment.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see where this is going.
They're not closing the store. They're actually just downsizing, and they're moving to a boutique, a Fair Villa boutique, a couple miles south on A1A. So,
What's crazy is it's going to be a hotel now.
The
right?
site, the not Fair Villa's boutique, but the site. Are they tearing it down? It's under contract, and the property is proposed. There's a proposal for a 150-room hotel to go on that site.
Oh my gosh! Didn't it used to be like a church or something before?
I think that is what it is rumored to have been. Now, in the town where I grew up in Mississippi, there was a building that looked just like that. That was called Two Bits, and part of it was like a restaurant, and the other part of it was like a video game arcade, and that was like the place to go in Columbus, Mississippi.
Well, it's kind of the place to go in Cape Canaveral now. Well, I guess people just don't buy anything when they go. They just go for the kicks.
All the 18-year-olds are going and going, key!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, that's where I went when I turned 18 to Brevard County.
I wasn't living it up. When I turned 18.
What?
So I wasn't in Brevard County.
I know. Rob went mudding, so. Right. In Mississippi.
Did a ding, ding, ding.
But anyway, okay.
So going from shrinkage to some sushi.
Yummy, yes. So remember when we thought that whole like brown tide thing was kind of wrapped up and was getting better and, you know, we were feeling a little bit better about it? Well, we've got more dead fish again. And it's not as big of a fish kill as before, but...
Well, it's because all the other fish died earlier.
Yeah, I guess the rest of them have died. And they're popping up in areas... in Merritt, like around Merritt Island, I believe in the Banana River, and they're washing up to shore. And what's happening is it's all these stupid algae blooms. The chemistry of our lagoon is totally off, and there's an issue with the amount of oxygen in the water. Primarily, this is due to your weird weather this year. Have you noticed, like, we haven't had very much rain? We usually have that nice thunderstorm at like 3:30 every day, but this year we haven't had that. So everything's totally off. The water's super warm. And so we're having these algae blooms, and it's perpetuating the issues we already have. So the brown tide thing, we can't rule out yet. The brown tide algae was recently recorded at, quote, bloom levels yet again. It's not over. I keep waiting for this brown tide thing to be gone. I'm sick of the poop jokes. Like, I'm out of poop jokes, honestly.
Well, okay, so to be fair, though, I mean, like, we have to be fair to the Indian River Lagoon, but to be fair, I mean, if you're a longtime Brevard County resident, August, it's hot. The water's always hot in August. And you kind of gotten used to, okay, it's August, I'm down by Pineda, and what is that smell? Because the river ride and all of the rotting seagrass and algae and everything that's kind of accumulated in the lagoon has kind of collected in that pocket on by the Pineda, and it's just nasty smell. So it's not like you know, it should be surprising anybody, but the oxygen levels being off in the lagoon, because it kind of happens every year. But I think because we were impacted so hard earlier this year, it's just continuing.
Well, and the fact that our fish are dying, I mean, our wildlife in the Indian River Lagoon is being affected consistently, and it seems to be getting worse. I feel like it's this roller coaster that we can't freaking get off of yet.
Well, actually, though, Jessica, there is a plan in play.
What? Rob, so, tell me about it.
Nice segue there, huh? So, Brevard County is considering a $302 million plan to clean up the said Indian River Lagoon. But how are they going to pay for it, Jessica? Well,
tell me how, Rob. How
get ready, everyone, to open your wallets. To pay for the much-needed influx of cash, the county may look to residents. The current plan would require either a new property tax or a new sales tax to help nurse the Indian River Lagoon back to health. Most of the budget would be used to dredge out organic muck. Did someone say organic? How fancy.
Organic. Wow. Must be very expensive muck.
Must be. The plan will go before the county commission on Tuesday, and for any new taxes to go into effect, we you know, the citizens of Brevard County have to vote on that first. Stay tuned, though, as I'm sure we will have some lively debates in the future. There will be those who think we should just, you know, take the money we already have in the county and move things around to make the lagoon a priority without raising taxes. And then there are going to be those who say there's not enough money, period, and we need to raise taxes in some capacity. But either way, the Indian River Lagoon needs money because brown tide ain't cute. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Commissioner Jim Barfield was in the studio this morning with Florida Today's Matt Reed to talk about this issue, and he made a really good point. You know, if you think about it, and you're a new homeowner, so you might not realize this, Jess, but my property taxes have not gone up much in the past 5 to 10 years. Like, not much at all. Like, we're talking a couple bucks. But the cost of doing business actually has. So when it comes to things like roads and making the Indian River Lagoon a priority, like, cost of living's gone up, gas has gone up, concrete has gone up, asphalt's gone up, building materials in general have all gone up. So it's getting more expensive to pay for things to clean up, like the Indian River Lagoon.
But hasn't your house's value gone up too with all that?
I've got my homestead exemption cap. And so they've done a really good job of keeping the amount of property tax I pay at pretty much the same level. Now, Keith Winston from the Brevard Zoo had said on an earlier episode of Matt's show that, you know, these are for all of the people that are like, I don't want to pay for it. He said that the lagoon will be whatever we choose it to be. If we don't want to invest the time and money to improve it, then it won't improve. If we do want to spend the time and money to improve it, then it will improve. But we've got to make that choice. And, you know, I would vote to do whatever we need to do to clean it up. I don't want to pay any more taxes. I don't. Nobody wants to pay more taxes. But I will tell you that I don't want to see fish floating on top of the lagoon as I'm driving into work every day. I don't want to have to worry about my kid getting splashed by water off of a fishing net and getting, you know, a flesh-eating bacteria because we didn't bother to do anything about our lagoon. So, and I certainly don't want to hear any more horror stories about, you know, dolphins having genital herpes.
Which is true. If you haven't been listening to the podcast, our dolphins definitely get STDs. So yeah,
they get around too.
Brown, yeah, they get around cow. And they're not doing so hot in the Indian River Lagoon. But anyway, so speaking of ways to lure people into Brevard, if the brown tie doesn't convince you, maybe this will. But for real, like the Tourist Development Council has been floating ideas around all over the place. You know, they had the Space Coast Office of Tourism. Thank you. The Space Coast Office of Tourism had that video that they released. We talked about
that. Millennials.
The millennial focused video. But, well, the Tourist Development Council hired a consultant from Chicago to come in and kind of assess where we are in Brevard. This person has proposed a lagoon-focused aquarium at Port Canaveral. Now, that idea has been tossed around a lot.
Keith Winston from the zoo was mentioning that the last time he was in here.
Yes, yeah. And I love that idea. I think it's great, both for us all here locally and for, you know, tourists who are coming. There's something else to do at the port. There's somewhere else to go. When you're visiting Cocoa Beach, I mean, there's something to do.
Well, not for nothing, but you probably won't have a brown tide there, and the fish that would be swimming in that aquarium would be breathing a whole lot easier than they are in the lagoon.
Also accurate. So, well, I guess if they wanted all accuracy here, they should make it pretty disgusting.
Right.
If it's really going to be lagoon focused.
Make the aquarium in the shape of a toilet.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or a septic tank.
Walk in through like a giant toilet bowl. Anyway, we're done. They also say to improve the amateur sports complex at Space Coast Stadium in Vieira. We've already talked about that too. Upgraded facilities at Laurie Wilson Park in Cocoa Beach and campground at Palm Bay Regional Park. And then investment in sports centers in Cocoa Beach and Vieira. So a campground in Palm Bay, an aquarium in Port Canaveral, improved facilities essentially.
We're going to move on to...
We can't shut up.
Right. So last week, this story puzzled us all. Jessica and I talked about this last week. A house in Palm Bay gets broken into. The burglar ransacks the house and then stabs a Yorkshire Terrier with a pair of scissors. Then the guy takes dish soap and spreads it all over the floor, apparently just for funsies. When we talked about this, I hearkened back to the classic John Hughes film, Home Alone, and likened the burglar as a member of the Wet Bandits. So an arrest has been made in the case, and the suspect, I assure you, looks nothing like Joe Pesci or Daniel Stern. But the big question Jessica and I kept coming back to with all of this was, who the heck stabs a dog with scissors? Well, according to the arrest records, Markel Sawyer, a 19-year-old from Palm Bay, was charged in the case. He faces a long list of charges and is in jail without an option for bond. The charges include armed burglary of a dwelling or structure, grand theft from a building of more than $300 but less than $5,000, criminal mischief of less than $200, felony animal cruelty causing death, pain, and suffering, dealing in stolen property, and first-degree felony criminal attempt to solicit. Now, as for the pup, whose name is Jasper, by the way, his owner tells us here at Florida Today that he is recovering.
So, yeah.
Who stabs a dog with scissors?
I had a lot of questions about this, none of which I really feel any better about, because I thought, you know how I had like asserted that this was someone who knew this guy and had a reason to break into his house, because you know he had been broken into before? No relation at all, no reason for the dish soap. I'm still confused. I don't understand.
Why would you stab a dog with a pair of scissors?
I don't know.
Seriously, why don't you just pick the dog up by the scruff of the collar and put him in the bathroom if you're going to rob the place? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it would take
nothing. It's a Yorkshire Terrier.
It fit in a bike basket, for goodness sake. Anyway.
Sorry, whatever. I'm instructing people on how to rob a house, but seriously, don't stab a dog with a pair of scissors.
You didn't have to stab the dog.
You didn't have to stab the dog.
And scissors? Ugh, I can't. I guess that was convenient. Well, we have another little bit of a crazy crime story this week as well. So we'll just, dive right into this.
Ba-dum-bump. I see what you did there.
Dumpster divers. This was a very Oscar the Grouch story because
it's just... Is that illegal?
What?
Dumpster diving.
I have no idea. I mean, I can only imagine what kind of poor life choices would lead to you dumpster diving for fun, but these people were hiding, so I guess it was illegal.
Oh, they were eluding. So that's
Okay. So in this case, yes, absolutely. And also, there's probably some kind of trespassing issue with that, I would think, if you're just like playing hide and go seek with your friends or something. Not that I do that as a 29-year-old, but still. Anyway, let me tell you about this story. It's very interesting. I really don't. Mm. Four men fled police after allegedly breaking into a used car dealership in Melbourne, which seems to be truly a Brevard thing at this point. It's like happening all the time. And in true Brevard fashion, they led police on a chase because car chases seem to be our thing here. I've lost count of how many we've had, Rob. I don't even know. It's got to be up to like 10 or something like that. That isn't the good part. Police laid down stop sticks and punctured the car's tires, yet somehow they kept going and made it all the way to Palm Bay.
Riding on the rims.
Yep, pushing it. So police captured the driver, but three other suspects fled on foot, and here's where things get really super graceful. This is my favorite part of this whole story. The suspects try and jump across a flood canal. You know, Palm Bay has those canals, but they're not really canals.
Oh, really deep, too.
Yeah, well... Okay, emphasis on that sentence should have been on the word try, because two of them made it across, one of them didn't. They got stuck, and he somehow loses his shoes and his shirt. I don't know how that happened, but either way, I would have loved to have seen video footage of the guy trying to jump across the canal and missing. Unfortunately, we don't have that. So where does the dream team go next? They hop into garbage cans to hide. What a spectacular idea. Garbage is collected once a week in Palm Bay, and with soaring hot temperatures, I can only imagine the amount of fun they must have had. I honestly feel like that should be considered time served. It's ridiculous. But they eventually found these guys because you can't hide forever in a garbage can, and a neighbor ratted them out. They saw it happen. So, they were arrested.
That's nasty.
So, yeah. Such a typical Brevard crime story, isn't it, though? It's got a car chase, it's got dumb criminals, it's got, muck involved, and garbage. Everything you want for a perfect Brevard County story.
That makes me want to lose my lunch.
It's so gross, but it's so great, because it's just so ridiculous.
I've never seen so many people excited about rain in Florida.
For real.
But seriously.
Yeah, for real.
Yesterday brought everybody out of the woodwork to say, finally, Because it's raining. Yeah. Legitimately, Facebook was full of posts. Yeah. Which was nice to kind of get us away from the Trump Clinton bashing of each other and the posts that are now popping up for Gary Johnson. Anyway,
there's a lot.
There are a lot. But anyway, it has been 29 days without rain in Melbourne as of yesterday, and that downpour that Melbourne saw was much needed. And Suntree was like, yeah, could have used it yesterday. So if you didn't know, Suntree on Monday, in case you missed the giant cloud of darkness, there was a giant brush fire in Suntree. The fire came like ridiculously close to houses in the Suntree and Vieira areas just off of Holiday Springs Road. It was a very fast-moving fire, and at its strongest, it was between 4 and 5 acres wide. The fire was fueled by dry conditions, hence the rain dances yesterday when it actually rained in Melbourne. Of course, it is Florida, and not all areas of the Space Coast were lucky enough to get rain, like, legit. It rained on the west side of the Florida Today building and not on the east side of the Florida Today building. So, yeah.
That's a thing that happens here.
It
often,
is a thing
actually.
That happens here. But you know, I you mentioned it earlier. I have been missing my afternoon 3:30 afternoon thunderstorms,
because you know, weird.
It's like an alarm. It's like, you know, a summer in Florida. You're at work. You start to hear thunder. Oh, I have an hour and a half left to work. I need to get going. I need to get busy.
Yeah.
You wrap it up, and by the time 5 o'clock rolls around, the storm is passed, and you go home.
Right. I really miss it.
Yeah.
I'm really melancholy for the rain, and I think everybody is, honestly. And I was up in Titusville, working up in Titusville yesterday. I didn't get a daggone drop at my house, and we need it. And I need it for like really selfish reasons, and that my pool is low, and I don't want to fill it with water. I want it to just come
money.
Naturally.
Right. Because you know, as soon as you pump some water in that pool, it's going to rain.
Of course. And then it's going to be so high that I'm going to have to back flush
right,
it. So,
right. Anyway. Yeah. Jessica's learning that she has to adult.
I know. So much adulting. That's what I get. Why did I buy a house with a pool? No, I
right.
love it.
Anyway, that's going to do it for this week. Remember, all of the stories you just heard Jessica and I talking about can be found in Jessica's daily BDB column on FloridaToday.com. And on the Florida Today mobile and tablet apps. Now, before we go, Jessica, you know I am a huge theater nerd, and I want to give a shout out to our colleague, Christina LaFortune, who is starring in the Melbourne Civic Theater production of Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike. This is a Tony Award-winning play and won like a bunch of other awards, and that's going to be at MCT in downtown Melbourne for like the next 6 weekends. You can get ticket information at mymct.org. So in that whole theater lingo, we're wishing broken legs to the cast and crew down at MCT and lots of positive vibes for Christina.
Yay, Christina, you yeah. go, girl, you
yeah,
go,
yeah,
you go.
Yeah. Okay, so that's it.
We're
Have
done.
A great weekend, everyone, and we'll catch you back here next week. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.